From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Hallelujah. Evening time, isn't it? Wonderful. Is everybody here tonight? Everybody's here tonight. All right, Prince is here. Wow. All right. Bow down your heads as we pray tonight. Father, what a blessing it is. What an honor it is. What a privilege it is to be gathered again tonight in your house. Speak to us on this journey called the Christian life, the Christian race. We need to hear from you as often as possible. Let tonight not be different. May we live blessed and encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. It's a fight. Somebody's asking me, they never knew that church was so full of action. Yeah. Yeah. Accusations, insults, talking, envy, gossiping, you know, betrayals, political parties, rebels, spies. I mean, it's like, is this church? It's, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you go to church and just go and just worship the Lord and sing some songs and give your offering and after church, just leave and go home, you'll never know how church is like. Because when you are at that shallow level, the devil doesn't, he's not actually interested in you. Yeah, it doesn't. You are not a threat. It is when you begin to show up as a threat that he begins to unleash all his armory against you. Julius, are you there? Yeah. Where's Ivo? Baby's corner. Good. So and now you can throw your baby up. I understand. You don't want to be like a mother or something. You want to still be like, hey, you have a baby, you go to baby session. Sure. Please give Ivo a customer card, right? At least loyalty card. So that she can build up some points. You never know how much discount she'll get when it comes to Macarius. Fight. One of the greatest apostles, the second generation apostle, after the 12, this guy who rose up called Paul, he started raising men to fight alongside himself. He positioned them in places. And he wrote a letter to one of them and he said, fight. I'm sure Timothy was wondering, what's this man talking about? But you see, Timothy knew the manner of life. In fact, Paul referred Timothy to that at one point. He said, but you have known my manner of life. Paul's life was very turbulent. Yeah. Adventurous. Full of excitement. I mean, I don't know this modern day, how many of us have followed the Lord to receive 40 stripes minus one? Yeah. If you receive stripes, people will think that as a man of God, you've gone to do something bad. You'll never believe that you went to preach and then the people say you can't preach and that's why they are actually giving you lashes. You'll say, oh no, I mean, how can a bishop be given 40 lashes minus one? He must have. There's no smoke without fire. Something must have gone on. That is why these people arrested him and lashed him 40 times minus one. But Paul didn't do anything wrong. All he did was that he just went to preach. He went to speak about the Jesus of Nazareth that people don't want to hear about. The people didn't want to hear anything. So they said, you know, you should keep quiet or we will lash you. And he said, I like lashing. They lash me. Madam, lash me. So in raising the next generation, and that's what I say here most of the time, that as long as I am alive, I will not cease to put you in remembrance. So when I'm dead and gone, and you come, you rise up, and you want to teach people some other thing, it's up to you. Now, I'm gone. I did mine. And when you do that, you go off and you stand before God. Then you answer for what you did when we handed over the baton to you. Paul did not want Timothy to be deceived. He said, fight. Timothy is a fight in Guyana. It's a fight. When you start, you understand what I'm talking about. It's a fight. You have to fight. If you can't fight and fight for a long time, then don't put on the military gear. Just write letters and type letters and press computer and be happy. It's a fight. Yeah. Fight! 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 You have to fight though. Douglas, you have to fight in Perica. You have to show what is on your life. You have to fight! You have to go to Perica from Georgetown every 2, 3, 4 times in a week. I used to go to Linden 3 times a week for 6 months, including this church. I don't know how many of you have risen to pastor 2 churches at the same time before. I was passionate. I started a church in Wismar, January of 2009. We started meeting at the New Silver City Secondary School. Every Sunday, Thursday, and Saturday, I drive my car from Georgetown to London. I did that for 6 months. It wasn't once a week, not only Sunday night, I would go to London. That even that many of you can't even do it. And this one, it wasn't one, I used to drive, so I would burn gas. And I used to go from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And I have to come back here for a service at 6:30. Fight. I said, fight. I was telling my Basenta leaders here this afternoon that you are more white people than black people. Yeah. You have the color, but you don't have the genes. As those who have been with me to Ghana before, and they will tell you how they saw people. When the ladies saw people in Ghana, they said, hey, are these women? Head and put a baby behind you and 2 bags like that. Can you do that? You're walking for like 3 miles, something on your head like that, your baby behind you and they're holding to that and they're walking. I still have it, isn't it? Hey, I thought I've grown old, so I don't have it. You want to try it? The hair. No, you are white people. You shouldn't be deceived by your color. You are white. Yeah. No, you are white. You can't take pressure. You can't take pressure. You can't take pressure. Class one, was it class one or class three or so? The teacher will come to the class with a stick, a cane like that, a longer one. Every Monday morning is dictation or mental. When he comes, say, 2 times 4. You have 2 seconds to answer. There's not like you're doing with all his strength. You see, your head begins to That is why you have started doing mathematics BSBA. Because nobody is willing to say, you know what, 2 times 4. What? Because they'll say abuse. They'll say abuse. They say physical abuse. They say, corporal punishment. All kinds of fantastic words that people don't understand is what we are using here. But those of us who grew up being abused are better than those who were not abused. Monday morning, when you go and sit in class. Hey, mental. So sometimes, you know, Phoebe in the office, I'll say, okay, so how many people were that? Or how much is that? Say, it's 24,000. Okay, so 24 times 8. Then she's looking for her phone. I said, girlfriend, if you were in my time, you get work. You need calculator to find out 24 by 8. 8 by 4. 4, 8 was 32. 2, remember 3. What? 2, 4, 8, 16. Then you add it. Finish. Right here. Within two seconds, you finish with it. You're not going to take calculator to type. We didn't have calculator. We didn't even know what calculator was. You're close to America, so you see calculator. We're in the forest. We don't even know what calculator is. Everything is here. Everything is in your head. Fight! So there are things that in this life are embedded in how willing you are to fight for. There are so many things that will elevate you, that will promote you, that will take you further and deeper in life, but you have to fight for it. So Paul told Timothy that this thing that you have enrolled in as a young pastor, it is a fight. You see, they are not nice things to say, but let me say it. There are a few people who have come to church. We've been here for 14 years, so, you know, people have come and gone. You know, every church is like that. People come and go. But the nice thing about this coming and go is that those who have come here and have left, they form an association outside the church. Yeah. They have WhatsApp groups. They are friends on Facebook, and they relate. I know some. I've discovered some lately. Take pictures. And then you ask yourself, if it wasn't for this church, where would they have even known themselves? They are so foolish that they don't even think. That in their whatever they think they are, they have forgotten that it was the church that started, it was the ark that was built, that they found entrance into the ark, that has even made them know each other. If it wasn't a church, where would you know each other from? Yeah. You have to fight. To fight to be a strong Christian. You have to fight to be spiritual. It will not come easy. I said it will not come easy. The things that God has for you and the things that you have to do for yourself, it does not come easy. You have to fight for them. Tonight, short Bible lesson. Fight to associate with great men of God. Association. Very difficult. Association. I'm not talking about good morning, Bishop. Have a blessed day. All my days are blessed though. So, don't worry about my blessed day. Yeah, worry about what you got for talk about. Fight to associate with great men of God. It's not easy to associate with great men of God. It's very difficult. The greater the man, or the greater the anointing of the man, the difficult it is to even relate. Sometimes you don't even know what to say. Good morning, Bishop. I hope you have a blessed day. Oh, don't worry. My day is blessed. Please, you can take it to the bank. You don't have to wonder how I am. I'm alive and kicking. Blessed and favored. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracles. I live a life of favor. I know who I am. So when you say good morning, sometimes some people, it's very interesting. They say good morning, they don't say anything again. So then I ask myself, are they waiting for me to also say good morning before they say something? Just okay, I won't say nothing. I'll wait and see what they will do. And truly, they don't say anything after that. That's okay. Good. There's nothing important to talk about. Don't tell me you don't have anything to talk about. Don't tell me there's nothing going on in your life that you can't share. Your good morning is a kaboo. You know a kaboo? You do know what a Kabul is? You don't know Kabul. Which school did you go to? Bible school did you go to? You know Kabul? Eh? Founders lectures. Did you do Kabul? As good as nothing. She didn't go to Bible school, but she knows what Kabul is. You didn't do it at Founders lectures. It's a message. Kabul. Good for nothing. Bring a sacrifice that is good for nothing. Yeah. Fight to associate with great men of God. Now, why is it important to fight? I said you are white people. Yeah. You see, white people don't make a difference between people. Should I say it again? White people don't make the difference between a graduate and a non-graduate in relating to with them. You know, if a white man sees a prince is a professor and sees this, if it's something the both of them need, both of them will get it. Yeah. If it's something that requires degrees, then prince will get through more than Judy. But if it's a service, you might even get it faster than Prince. In Guyana, it's the same thing. People don't make difference between you and anybody. Join the line. You are not different. Yeah, join. Prince, you almost blew my fuse. When a big man, a sensible, somebody with brains like me, I go to a company that offers service, they have chairs and they say, sit down. And then the person who's next to be served gets up and they say, everybody should just get up and move like children in the play school. But ask myself, these people think that there's no brains in my head. No, when I go to place like I just stand. The security will say, oh, I've been driving all day. I want to stand and let blood flow in my body. What I'm trying to say is that I am not a child to come and sit on this, your broken chair. By the time it's your turn, you have sat on chairs that people's buttocks have sat on. So at least now GPL Main Street, they do it better. You go and you take a number, you sit anywhere. That's what sensible people behave. When it's my turn, I just get up from where I'm seated and I come. Don't let me do musical chairs like that. In our society, we don't make a difference between who a man of God is and who is not a man of God. But even if you show yourself as a man of God, people will insult you. Yeah. So I try not to tell people who I am. I'm self-employed. I'm a businessman. And we say, what do you do? When Jacob came to my house, he said, what do you do? I said, I'm self-employed. I'm a businessman. So what do you do? I said, I buy and sell. I buy anything and sell anything. Because you coming to register me to vote, you want to mind my business. Next time when you are passing, you say, oh, yeah, there's a bishop who lives in that house there. Buy and sell scrap iron. Oh, please. Yeah. You go to places, they say, ID card. They say, what's your address? I say, number 5 Cemetery Road. Middle gate. Then you ask, so it's where? That's the Isla Penitence. Central Georgetown. Greater Georgetown. I bet you the woman who is sitting there with the brown and black or whatever has no idea what you are talking about. Central Georgetown. It's an address. They say, okay, carry on as our chair. I will carry on. You see, it's so queer. You know it's so queer? Now, so what are you taking the name and address for? Because I can give you a wrong address. So if you are going to take it for security reasons, that if something happens, you're going to go through your logbook and say, okay, Orlando Douglas entered in here 12 o'clock and it looks like he was the one who, okay, so we're looking for him. 5 Cemetery Road, Middle Gate. There's no serious police officer in Guyana who will come looking for me. Unless maybe I kill somebody. Turn to your neighbor. You are a white man. A white woman. You get suspended. It's good for you. She give you 1 year suspension. And lashes. Skin your teeth. Yeah. You are white, though. White. You just didn't copy the white man's ways well. Because where I was born, you don't take letters to people's homes. That's Africa. You have a post office box. Everybody has a post office box. Because there are no street names. If you come to look for me, I say, you know, Maxima Junction? Hey, take a left. And then just go straight. The road turns by itself to the left. And then come the house, 1, 2. The fifth house is painted yellow. That's where I live. But I can't give you a street name and address. It doesn't exist in my country. Opposite the church. That's right. If you get lost, just ask for Mr. Sabre, Mr. Sabre. They will show you where he lives. The man who drives that blue car. Eh? Even here in the ghetto, you have Cockroach Street. You have Dory Street. It's a white man country. You get your letters at home. Nice service. I have to go to Central Georgetown with my letter box key. Go and open the box and see whether I got a letter. Each time I want to check whether I have a letter, I have to go from where I live to town. It's white man. You white man. In my country, you don't sit alone in a taxi. Like the taxi that do short drop, it's four people that sit in a taxi. There's no air conditioning in the taxi. You see the old ones that do short drop? Yeah. You are sitting next to somebody who is smelling sweat like something. You got GI, you call pretty pussy, and then they say, driver, put on the air condition. Air condition? You're joking. Bass? There's no bass. The driver is the bass. If he tells you 1,000, you say you are not going, he said, get out. Get out of here. When it's rush hour, almost every taxi driver parks their taxi. And they'll be dusting it, they'll be cleaning it. They clean it. They go, oh, please, it's like penny. They say, yeah, $4,000. All right. Rush hour, everybody parks their taxi. And we are not 747,000 people. We are 26 million people. And sometimes in a city, you have about a million or so. So you glad for take a taxi, drop you. We call it dropping. It means that the driver is taking you alone to where you are going at your doorstep. So you got to pay for it. Here, 500, you can sit in a taxi by yourself. Even 300, you can sit in a taxi by yourself with air condition, end to end. Not where I was born. That's Africa. We don't have fork and knife and spork. This is spork. This is knife. This is spoon. This is cup. You drink like that. You put water in your hand. Yeah. Hot soup. You're a white man, but you don't know how to use a knife. It's only spork use. You see, you didn't copy it well. You really did. You see, you are white, but you are not so white. Your inside is white, your outside is black. So it's a very wild mix up. Yeah. We're having a leaders dinner many years ago, and I went to Game Express to buy this plastic, nice, decent fork and knife, cutlery, for the dinner. So I went there, and the fork comes in a pack, the knife comes in a pack, and the spoon comes in a pack. So I took some forks, and I took a few knives also. And the lady said, "What am I going to use it for?" I said, "We're having a dinner." I said, "Oh, you are new, Guyana. We don't use knife, so don't buy the knife. Buy only the fork." I said, "Oh no, man. I mean, I can't present myself like that to the people. If the people use only fork, I am not going to do that." Indeed, when I bought the fork and knife, the knife became useless at the table. Yeah. Fight. We grew up walking. So when you are going to church, if you don't have money, it's not a problem. But many of you don't come to church because you say you don't have money for passage. We don't do passage. What did God give you those two legs for? Yeah, no mountain. You don't have to climb any hill. It's flat like somebody's buttocks. And you can't walk. Sometimes right here from Middle Road or Charles, our boys stand on the back here. They can't walk. End to end. And then they will not give the right offering so that they keep someone and take a care. You're not fighting. So, you see, with all these kind of things we've grown up with, when it comes to associating with the man of God, we are not able to.
Because we are not able to break through all the hindrances and the psychological things and the shame and the pride. And we are not able to break through to get closer to a man of God. But you see, a man of God is someone that God has given to you for a lot of your breakthroughs and your miracles. Yeah. And your association with a man of God is the key to your survival.
Very big.
So if you don't associate with your man of God, you are going to lack a lot of things. But you can't break through because you have not learned to fight to be close to a man of God.
I was talking to a young girl the other day. She was telling me, oh, she's done some bad things. I said, I know. And she sent me a surprise face. I said, you have not been talking to me. That's why you don't know that I know about you, that you know that I know, and I know that I know about you. Yeah. If only you associate. So I asked the girl, I said, these bad things you have done, do you know what it means? She said, no. To be continued. Is it not true that there are many things that we don't understand? And we walk in lack of understanding because it is as if God has not given you anybody to help you understand some of the things in life. You have not learned to fight to associate. It's like we don't see in our society, we don't see anything important about a man of God for me to go through a lot of hard things to break to and relate with him. Because when you get a man of God like, God forgive me, Bishop Ejiofor, he'll be protesting at a meeting. And then people be insulting him. And so the bishop name and a title and a function is disrespected.
Because everybody thinks that we are all politicians. In a country where people, that is why pastors, all of you, you can't be walking around and dress normal. You have to put on a tie. You have to dress properly. Because the system does not respect men of God anyway. So you have to make sure that you are properly attired, you look decent and well. Whenever you are going out to any place, let me tell you, in our system, people will treat you different when you are dressed properly. It works for me all the time. It happens all the time. Even when you are traveling, we've been taught to travel with a jacket. Anytime you go to immigration, they look at you, they look at your passport. They see that this guy is not some Alos, you know, Alos man. You know, Alos man, use hustle. You're a hustler. Alos man. The way you dress. Hey, human beings judge you by what they look, they see you. So you say, oh, me, my bishop is simple, so I dress simple. You live in Ghana like that. Yeah. Man, look at the outward. People don't come to church. People don't respect church. People don't see the benefit and the use of a church. They don't know that the man of God is God's key to their problems. They don't understand that. Why should you come to a man of God?
He can't do nothing for me.
That's how people disrespect. That's how people leave. Because they don't understand the use of a man of God in their lives. Otherwise, they will fight to stay. They will fight to stay close. 2 Kings chapter 2.
2 Kings. I closed just now. It's a short. Some of us are traveling tomorrow morning to Jamaica, isn't it? Some people are going tomorrow. Yeah, man. Second Kings. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal, he went with Elisha. There's another time in the Bible that Moses went to the mountains with Joshua. The Bible describes the presence of God on the top of the mountain like fire. Moses went to be with the Lord on the top of the mountain. Joshua was around somewhere. Yeah.
You have to understand what it even means for somebody to be called a man of God. Because if you, that's why some girl who used to come to our church the other day sent me a message on WhatsApp addressing me as good evening, man of God. I didn't even open the message. I passed me. Yeah, it passed me. You're calling me man of God. So who are you? You are also a woman of God? We are classmates? You don't know who I am? Calling me man of God? You don't know who I am? You become disrespectful so fast. No. Because I'm a man of God. I would like to see you. I've not read the message up to today. You so walking around in our church. Please. Just the other day, you were doing one or two things. So you think you're a woman of God. So you're calling me man of God. I am not your man of God. I am not your man of God. I don't want to see your face. Please. Don't come near me. That is respectful. I'll see you when we go to heaven. There. Just make sure you get to heaven. We'll talk when we get there. When I get to heaven, I'll be look for the woman of God. Before I see the Lord. Good night, man of God. Since when did I become a man of God to you? You used to be my church member walking here. I laid my hands on you. You fell like 200 times here. I anointed you. Oh, you calling me man of God? You can't call me man of God. I'm not your man of God. Because you call yourself a woman of God now. So if you call me man of God, what does it mean? So the foundation of even the association is that this man has something that will change my life. This man has something that will help me. Because if a man of God is nobody, then there's no point in fighting to associate with him. Verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, stay here, I beg you. For God has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, you're making joke. You making joke. You're making joke. You are a man of God, but you don't know what I sense in my spirit. I sense in my spirit that I'm going to be left like an orphan today. And so I don't want to hear when I woke up from the dream I had. I've been traumatized. I don't want to hear, wait for me, I'm coming. Because the dream I had, you told me to wait for you, were coming, and then when I waited, you never came. So when I woke up from the dream, I said, hey! I want to check the other room to see whether you were there. I said, it was just a dream. Then now, as we are walking, we were in Gilgal, and you are telling me you are going to Bethel. God has sent you to You reminded me of the dream. You're making joke, man of God. I am not staying anywhere. I'm going with you. Yeah. There was a time where people could just come upstairs and come and see me. And then I said, no, you cannot just come like that. When you put barriers and make rules. That's when you see those who are serious and those who are not serious.
After church, I disappear. If you want to see me, you have to find a way to see me.
If you want to associate, you can even time me and monitor me. There are so many things that we do that is quite predictive. There are some gaps. We don't live in a very wild system, so we are a bit relaxed in how to, to be unpredictable. There are some things. Oh, Wednesday, Sunday. Oh, I'm sure if I come here like 5:30, maybe I see when he's driving in, and probably just try and push a little 10, 15 minutes of his time and ask my questions and ask for my advice. Oh, the project has started in some area. Oh, I'll just go there. He'll come there, Gra. he by all means, he will come there. So one day, one of the boys asked me, "Are you coming to Samaria today?" I never answered up to today. When I'm coming to Samaria, I don't know. If you want to be in Samaria, you can be in Samaria, but I don't know about me coming to Samaria. Because people don't want to fight. It's like, there's nothing about you, but there's something about a man of God, you know. Elisha woke up from a dream. I think that Elisha had this thing. He was just imagining something was just happening to him. You know, there's a man of God who died many years ago in Ghana. He was involved in an accident. He went for a crusade in a place called Takrady. And that week, the people who used to travel with him, almost everybody had a dream. The man used to walk with two ladies, Tego sisters, who used to sing for him at crusades. They said the night before the crusade, they had a dream. One of them had a dream, and the man was going to heaven. Right after the crusade, they were coming back. They were driving back to where they live. And then the man of God got involved in an accident. His head came off. And he died. If you play his last message at the crusade grounds, you will now understand why he was preaching like that. Because the next day he was going to die. And they had a dream that the father that they've been working with and ministering alongside with for all these years, the man was going. One of them had a dream. He was taken away. So I am sure Elisha, if he's actually spiritual, had felt something. That this man that I've been working with and been seeing mighty things and been seeing miracles and the action and the reaction in ministry and adventure. This man, there's something about him parting with me and there's something about him leaving me today. I don't know what will happen to me if I don't see this man again. I don't like him to tell me I should sit here, he's coming. You know, sometimes people do, you know, your parents, they say, sit here, don't move, okay? I'm coming. And they go and do their thing. If you're a good child, when they come, you say, okay, let's go now. Elisha said, as long as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. So Elijah didn't know what to do, but he said, okay, let's go to Bethel. You have to fight him. What will you do when a pastor says, no, I can't meet you? You can't meet me? I know you don't sleep here in the church. I'll wait at the door. You can't see me. What do you mean by you can't see me? So I should go home? You don't know what I want from you. I ain't going nowhere. Let me lie down in one of the chairs. When I hear doors closing, I'll get up. I'll tell Prime, please wake me up. Yeah. At least the walk to his vehicle. That gap, I will try and catch a few minutes. Yeah. There's a young lady who I was walking to my car one day when I got down here. For a long time, you know, we had not had any interaction. Then she came to hold me. So I was shocked. I said, what a shock, 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 what a shock.
I said, what? I said, how are you? He said, not good. I jumped. I said, what do you mean by not good? I thought you were happy in life. She said, no. I said, wait. Because me, all along, I thought she was happy in life. That's why she doesn't say anything to me. I'm like, you're happy in life. You don't say anything to the bishop. Those of you don't say anything to me. You're happy in life. Oh. Yeah. You know what I've realized? When something is important to you, you will find me. Something that you are afraid that you need prayers or you need the bishop to say something. You see how you can ring my phone down? It reminds me of a pastor who used to be around here called Greg. When he wants to speak to you on the phone, he'll call you 20 times. You will know that a guy is trying to reach you. Anytime he calls you and he doesn't get you on the phone, please answer the phone. Sometimes I have to turn off the phone. Airplane mode. I learned some airplane mode something. If I knew it, then I would have turned switch it to airplane mode. The guy will call. You feel like he's dying or somebody's dying. When you answer, he can't find Reverend Ralph, so he's calling to see whether I know where he's at. That's the result of the 25 calls. Yeah. I told you some stories about Africa, isn't it? When we want to travel abroad. If we want to go to America, we don't wait for some old woman to go to America and put in for me for 5 years old. You got time for waste? It's too long. And I think I've said it before, and I was explaining yesterday to some people in my car that we in Africa, the young ones migrate, not the old ones. Here's the reverse. The older folks migrate somehow. And then they put it in for their children. 5 years, DNA, blood tests, all kinds of things. And then you join them. In Africa, I take my sister's passport. I take her picture out. Put my picture inside. I'm called Judy Fitzsimmons. And I go. Who told you that a white man knows the difference between Judy Fitzsimmons and Victor Collins? I'm Judy Fitzsimmons. What are you going to tell me? That's the name my mother gave me. What's your problem? They don't even know. They don't even understand. Many people have migrated from Africa, West Africa to Europe and America by that. It's not that they have machine readable something. It's because of us Africans that they've become smart. Oh, please. They in their countries never thought that somebody could take out a picture and put another picture inside. They can be very surprised about how Africans can behave. You take out the picture. I have a sister, she's called Joyce. When she used to live in Amsterdam, herself and another guy, they were immigration officers. Self-proclaimed immigration officers. You see, because in those days, the Dutch government, the permit they give you in Holland was a stamp, rubber stamp. Admitted, 6 months permit. And then, you know, these people, they will sign something like that.
So the only thing we need is for one person to go to immigration through a means and get the right one. Then we duplicate the stamp. So my sister was a secretary to a friend of hers. So she collects the money and the guy will meet you. He has passports in his trunk. He meet you. And you, when you come from Ghana, you come and say, so 1 year is 5,000. 6 months is 2,000. 10 years is 25,000. Take the stamp. 10 years. Collect money. And then you go to a job agency. They didn't know anything. They'll register you, find a job for you, and you'll be working. Meanwhile, the stamp and everything is not real. We taught the white people that rubber stamp can be duplicated. I'm talking about fight, though. Fight for things. That's why many young men here don't do well in life. Because there's a certain engine that you don't start it. Because God created us men to dominate and to have dominion. But we put the engine at rest. The battery to start the engine, we take it off and put it somewhere. And move around like we were not created to be dominant. Yes. My big sister, I told you. She went 1982, she went to Holland. Married somebody from Suriname. The next day, she got a Dutch passport. And the Dutch people asked her, a day after marriage, Prince, 1982. A day after marriage, you get your Dutch passport. Then they ask her, do you have any children? Because the population in Holland was so small. So the immigrants were encouraged to bring their children. So they asked my big sister if she has children. She said, yes. Because the information had been going around. Going around. So they said, how many? She said, four. My sister Rebecca, my sister Juliet, my sister Lydia, and my brother Felix. Three girls. The two girls were twin. And then Lydia and Felix. Those days, they just give you a paper, you post it to your brother or sister in Ghana, they go to the embassy, they put a visa in their passport, they come to Holland. The next day, you get a Dutch passport. Yes. Then they realize that then people started selling their own. So they don't have children, they don't have relatives, but they say, I have three set of twins. Yes. All you have to do is make sure that the ages are reasonable so that they don't suspect. Because how can my big sister have my third sister as her daughter? Age difference. So she had to bring her age down and change her last name. And then find a birth certificate in Ghana. You can find it. That matches the name. You are not fighting. You have some GRO here. They say it's computerized. Computerized, my fault. Computerized? Citizenship? Oh, my fault. Your best certificate, any name you can make, Melchizedek Abraham, you get the best certificate for it. You want your date of birth to reduce by 5, you get the 8 by 5. So people who didn't have siblings, children, they just do a three set of twins. They sell one paper for 5,000. So 5,000 twins. So Prince and Judy will be twins and there's no blood relationship between them. As long as they have the Dutch passport and they live in a country, as the white man believes it. Then problems started coming up. That's how the white man got to understand that he was not smart after all. Because when Judy and Prince come from Ghana, I sell it. I go to Ghana and I sell it. And they pay me and they come. You have to come and live with me.
because you are my children. Now, because we don't have any blood relation, I don't treat you well because you are living with me. Then after a while, when you get your papers, you know that you can move around. You say, she better try there. We got. Then it's a whole big fight. Then abuse out. Then you move out. Then me and Joy will get problems. Then Joy will call immigration and say, you know the man? That children is not his children. Yeah. You won't come fight me. I will show you something. I will let immigration take you back to your country. You don't know me. You come to fight with me. You will see. Pick up the phone. Immigration. You know Victor Collins? 5 Cemetery Road, Middle Gate. Yeah, 2 twins that he say he has. They are not his children. I can tell you. You can do blood test, whatever. They are not. It's fake. Then the immigration, they will take note of it. And they will go inside. You see, at a point, they employed local lawyers. Any document you bring, the local lawyers go into the village or wherever your birth is registered to go into the books. Even them, you can give them money and they will go and say, it's true. Fight, oh! Because it's money everybody is looking for in this life. Why should I enforce a law when I can get 500,000 in my pocket? For some white man to... Is the white man my uncle? I have bills to pay. Let you try in this country. So they send people to Ghana to go and learn our languages.
One day, we're in a lift in Holland, and we're talking our local language, the Chi. And the white man responded. He said, I speak Chi. He said, I lived in Ghana for over 20 years.
That's when we got to know that they sent spies to go and live among us like people and just to study our culture and study our lifestyle and how we behave and how we think so that they could deal with us.
Yeah.
You have to fight. Oh. So when my sister did those papers for my siblings, I was excluded. I don't know why, but thanks be to God. Because the harassment she gave them, so myself and my sister Joyce were not included. So it was proposed to me to marry my sister Juliet.
So we go to the GRO and say, kiss your bride. They say, tongue up.
I'm talking about Fido.
But there was a clause
that I will pay for it. I said, I can't pay for something that my sister has done, has created for me. I ain't paying nothing. She said, if I ain't paying, I ain't getting nothing. That's what saved me. I was going to go with my sister to GRO and stand there with wedding suit and wedding gown and go and say, ta la la la, ta la la la. I was going to marry my own sister at the city council just so that I can get a stay permit. Fight. Fight. I used to be called Charles when my first few years in Holland. I was called Charles because I was using somebody else's passport to work. The name was Charles.
Charles Bronson.
So sometimes you meet your colleagues at in town and they call Charles Charles and you forget that you are called Charles. The guy was about 10, 15 years older than me. I have a pastor friend. He was using an Italian passport. His name was Giuseppe Langella, a Ghanaian. The white people don't know that there's no black Italians. Giuseppe Langella. Up to today, that's the name I call him. He's 60 years now. He used to be one of the trusted dishwashers in ABN AMRO Bank. The directors, the high management team, they occupied a floor in their kitchen. He was the one who used to wash dishes there. It was the bank, one of the top banks in Amsterdam. And so it was a very, very high level place just to wash the dishes. Because when Italians and Germans come to Holland and then they spend all their money, passport is nothing to them. So they just give their passport for money. And then they go back to their country, they report missing, and they get another one. So it's missing, but you are living in Holland and working with it. So if you want work permit, you go and see that my sister's friend. He put a work permit and a passport for you. He was called Giuseppe Langella. When he was getting married, he wasn't sure to invite people. I think he made a mistake to invite one or two people from his workplace. When they came, he was called Gabriel something. Meanwhile, he's known as Giuseppe Langella at workplace. Right after the wedding, I think a few months later, he had to stop because people started asking some questions. Yeah, he worked there for years. Giuseppe. If you go and Google it, Giuseppe is Italian name. Giuseppe. Yeah. I just said Giuseppe. Giuseppe Langella. Langella. It was probably even a girl's name. Who cares? Jamel, who cares? So when my wife was supposed to join me, when we got married in 1984, she went to Switzerland. And the plan was to get her across the border to come to Holland. So when she went to Switzerland, my sister said, Charlie, this is my passport. Drive across the border. Go and pick her up and bring her. We had started Lighthouse and Bishop had actually advised me not to lie in the country. He said, this country is full of lies. I said, Collins, don't lie in this place. So I called him and Bishop said, you sure you want to do this? I said, all right, Bishop. So I told my sister, I can't do it. They said, your wife will never come to this place ever again. It was very easy. You take a passport, I drive across the border, you drive over the bridge, police is standing there stopping you. What are they stopping you for? Well, you can drive from Holland through Germany to Switzerland to Geneva, pick somebody, come through. You don't know the Swiss border. I once went to Italy. I was going to Venetia from Amsterdam. I didn't know, and I took a train from Amsterdam Central to Venice Central. I passed through Germany. The train stopped in Dusseldorf. The next stop was Basel in Switzerland. When I got to Basel, they took me off the train at 3 a.m. in the morning. They told me that my Ghana passport, I don't have a Swiss visa going to Italy. I said, I'm not coming to Switzerland. They said, I am in the train passing through their country. They took me off the train at 3 a.m. I said, go back to your country. 3 a.m. at a train station in the middle of nowhere in Basel. Nobody speaks English. I said, excuse me. I didn't know how I was even going to get back to Holland because my ticket was not returning the same day. Nobody spoke English. Someone who speaks English came around 8 a.m. I had to stay at the police station at the border at Basel train station for about 5 hours. And the guy came, he searched me like I was a thief. He put me back on the train, heading back to Amsterdam. I'll never forget that experience. Fight? I said I was going to visit one of my classmates in Italy. I've gotten a staying permit. I'm legal in Holland now. I said, hey, Charlie, Italy, I'm coming. I went for an Italian visa. Holland, Germany. I had a German visa, which was still valid. When I got to Switzerland, they said, as long as you are in the train and the train is passing through our country, you need a visa. I said, but I'm not stopping. I don't know anybody here in Switzerland. They said, no way. In all of that, I never went to prison before. When I came to Guyana, they put handcuffs around my hand. I said, this is the last time I tell any policeman whatever they want. Fight. Fight to associate. You see, when you know that there's a blessing here, you have to be fronting. Oh. You have to play fronting. Oh. You have to sleep at that place. Oh. I don't know how the American... You see, even here, American embassy is organized.
in Ghana, American Embassy, you go there at 2 a.m. to get the first ticket to be, to first number to be served. Dutch Embassy, Holland Embassy. You go and you go. People, you, there are contractors who go there and sleep there and stand in the line and sell their spots. It's business. You want to be served early? I like it out. I go and sleep at the embassy. Right at the gate. My shoes are right there. I am number one. So when people start coming around 6, 7, 8, you are the first at the gate. Meanwhile, you are not going to apply for any visa. 100%. So if you give me 100, you take. I'm going home. I've finished my work for the day. Are you learning something? Because you know that the embassy, there's something that when you get a visa, you are going to separate yourself from some people. And so you do all that you can to be there. A man of God is loaded. Bible says, I will give you pastors after my heart. A man of God is somebody God has endowed with grace, with anointing, and with giftings for you. So you have to understand that a man of God is a treasure in your life. And therefore, you have to fight to associate and make sure that whatever the man of God has for you, you get it. Hey!
If you don't know it, verse 3, we're closing. 4, the sons of the prophets. And Elijah said unto him, Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. So it's Gilgal, it's Bethel, and I says Jericho. And he repeated the same thing. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, me, I'm not leaving. You see, if it was some of us, say, oh, this is the third time he's telling me he's going somewhere. Like, he won't get away. He want me to follow him. Man, let you guy away, man. What's this thing here? Some small, company we want to, we Guyanese will say something negative about that. The bishop doesn't like me, man. Look at the third time he's telling me that the Lord has sent him. So the Lord has sent you, so what? I should leave you, I should go? You chase me out. You chasing me, man. I can't run behind him. He chasing me. And that is why many of us miss the blessings God has in store for us. Because we are not prepared to fight for the man of God's association with the man of God. All the furthest you go is good morning, have a blessed day. Don't make a mistake. My days are blessed by the Lord already. This is the day that the Lord has made. Talk about you. Talk about what you need. Ask the questions you have to ask. Seek the advice and the counsel you need. Don't say good morning. I'm not collecting good morning on my phone. I can't do anything with good morning. You see, sometimes I get messages and they go down the list. I forget to read them, so it goes down the list. Then you see that the person will send a message again, then it pop up to the top. I say, look, hey, 4 or 5 messages. Then I start reading it, I start responding. If I don't respond, and you say, that man, I sent him a message about 3 days ago. He has not responded. like he doesn't want to hear. Okay, all right. Charlie, no problem. 3 days ago? That's even too fast. The Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho. He said the same thing. I am not leaving you. John chapter 6, the Bible said that Jesus began to speak some heavy things. The people started leaving, and he asked the disciples, are you also going to go away? They stayed with him, and they became the 12 greatest apostles ever. God has anointed a man of God for you. Verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. Again? And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on.
There's no doubt Elisha received a double portion of the anointing he desired, because he was not prepared to leave the association for nothing. He knew what the association was going to bring him. He knew that something was about to happen, and that if he does not position himself properly, something great, something precious was going to be taken out of the world. He needed the Spirit upon Elijah, that he was not prepared to be sidetracked and say, you know what? You can't get it.
It's a fight.
That's why sometimes your bus center and all these things don't work, because you're not prepared to fight for souls. You ain't able to walk in the sun. You ain't able to chase after people. You ain't able to go to people's houses there and there, and people shouting and people hollering and people abusing and all this foul language. You can't take it. It's almost as if who is paying you that you have to subject yourself to all these things, because you don't know. You don't want to fight.
Let me close with this. I can tell you a lot of stories. You know, in Ghana, they have services specially for visas. Anointing for visa. Everybody bring your passport. When I say that here, you laugh at me. You say, see, a passport for what?
Yeah.
If I don't bring your passport for Jamaica, you have seen those who have believed to come.
Hey, people go for prayer meetings for visas. Not embassy, prayer meeting. Because sometimes people go to the embassy, everything that the embassy staff, visa officer is asking, they have it. Yet they say, denied. Then when they go to the prophet, he said, your family has made your face into a caricature. So the face you stand in front of the visa officer with, they look at your face, they say, no, not this ugly thing, can't go to America. They say, this, let's say, they have changed your face. They say, bring the oil. I'm going to take away this face. And tomorrow, go to the visa office. You get through in Jesus' name. And I see the woman, they say, They go to the office the next day, they come back and say, prophet, prophet, prophet. Say, I want to share my testimony. I came here last 2 weeks and the prophet said there's something on my face. That's why I don't get through with the visa. He prayed for me. I went. They give me 10 years multiple. Yeah. You see, faith rises. Then people know that this man of God, he shares visas. When it's like that, people come on. When people get to understand that, oh, this man, if you go, hey, you break through. People come. But this type of association, people don't like it. Association for anointing, people don't like it. People like association for material and earthly things. They don't like association for the presence and the power of God. That makes every single difference. Let me tell you, in Ghana, many people have desired to go abroad and all of that. And it's so interesting how some pastors who never went to school well, started churches, God lifted them up. They go to the embassy. They can't even fill the form for themselves. And they get 10 years multiple. And there are people who have gone to school with whatever, they can't get through with a visa. But this guy started a church without education. The church has grown. When he goes to the embassy, they give him visa to go. It's like, it's too fantastic. You see, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that makes the difference. And if you associate with a man of God for the anointing, not for any material things or earthly things, you see that will be the breakthrough. That will be the secret to your elevation, your promotion in life.
I believe it too. Stand to your feet, please. Ah. Yeah. Fight to associate.
Many of you, apart from Guyana, you don't communicate with any bishop outside Guyana. That's it. You can't. You can't break through all the
what? Unconscious or invisible barriers. So you ask yourself, what do I say? Because you can't tell them good morning. Have a blessed day. It's me, you can say good morning. Have a blessed day. How are you doing, Bishop? You eat?
Many of you can't communicate beyond Guyana. Because you feel like there's a certain pride. What about if I send and he doesn't respond?
You don't want to fight to associate, that's why. Those of you who lived in Ghana all these years and you were associated with some people, I don't know how long it has been since you sent messages to Bishop Emmanuel Louis Intefor with his Holy Spirit book. Hey! Oh, you remember your Anakazo, Biyazo. Everybody knows it. Not everybody does. Oh, the younger ones don't know it. You are Mampo people. That's from Anakazo. Yeah. Mampo, they have something. What do you have? The one you dance with. Albums. Share. We have Anakazo Biazo. Anadea. One album. One song. You have tracks. Couples. Fight to associate with great men of God. They have keys. Don't ever think that a man of God doesn't have anything to give you. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. Once he's called a man of God, then God has deposited something in his life for you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for tonight. I'm blessed because we came. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.